Hi, I'm Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to our daily communion meditation, where today we're talking about stop binding yourself. Stop binding yourself. Sometimes in our lives, we can bind ourselves with our words and the things that we agree to in our lives. One of the most powerful things we can do, the Bible talks about binding and loosing, is to stop binding ourselves and to begin to loose God to work in our lives. Major turnaround can happen. We stop binding ourselves. We begin to loose God to work in our lives. But we're going to get started with prayer, and then we'll get into this a little bit more. If you're new to us here, the way we do these daily communion meditations is we start with about a two-minute long prayer that's mostly scripture, coming from Ephesians chapter 1 and the prayer of Jabez, found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And then we take a few minutes to do the other half of prayer, to get still, to examine ourselves, to get our hearts and minds position in the light before we get into our time of communion today. Let's get started with the prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray for everybody who's watching or listening, all their families, their friends, everybody connected to them, and all of our church and governmental leaders. And Father, I thank you for releasing us from darkness, transferring us into the light, into the kingdom of your dear Son. I thank you for your purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. And Father, I keep asking that you, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which you've called us and the riches of your glorious inheritance that is in us and the immeasurable greatness of your power to us who believe. The same power that you exercised in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And you put all things under his feet and made him to be the head of the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And Father, I ask you to bless us, to bless our time here together today, to expand our borders and our territory, to expand our capacity to receive your purpose and grace and your love and your goodness, and to let it flow through us so that we do good and are a blessing to people all over the world. I ask you to keep your hand on us and help us do today what's right and best in your eyes, and to do it with peace and joy and confidence in you. And I ask you to stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and wonders and keep us from evil and pain. Through the mighty name of Jesus, amen. So now we're going to go through the other half of prayer. This is where we talk about our four fundamentals. Four fundamentals. You do a good job of these fundamentals. It's amazing at what it can do in your life. Masters of anything are masters of the fundamentals. Our four fundamentals: getting positioned in the light, number one. Number two, magnifying that light to make it bigger and greater and brighter on the inside of you. Number three, keep doing the things that you know to do and doing them with a good attitude, because we're trusting and relying on God flowing through us to do the work. And then number four, staying tuned in to God's leading and direction and voice as he leads us along in our lives. So fundamental number one, getting positioned in the light. God has released us from darkness, transferred us into the light, into the kingdom of Jesus. But we got to take our position. We got to take our position in the light. And I think there's two big things that allow us to take that position. We got to, number one, make sure forgiveness is flowing. We got to receive that forgiveness. That transfer into the light happens because of forgiveness. We got to receive it from God. Everything we receive from God, we receive by faith. His grace, his love, his mercy, his forgiveness, his energy, everything he's given us, we receive it by faith. And one of the greatest expressions of faith is thanksgiving and praise. Just staying positioned today, number one, in forgiveness. But number two, staying positioned in thanksgiving and praise. It's like an opener. It's like the gate that opens up and allows all the things of God to be received, and it keeps all the things that you don't want out. Getting position and forgiveness and thanksgiving. And then we got to forgive ourselves. That grace and mercy and forgiveness has got to flow through us. Got to forgive ourselves, give ourselves that same grace that God has given us. As I'm thinking about it right now, one of the ways you can give yourself grace, take some of that pressure off. Give yourself longer. Stop binding yourself with unrealistic deadlines. It's amazing when you give yourself the grace of some extended time and you stop binding yourself by promising unrealistic deadlines, how much pressure that takes off of you. And then we got to let that grace and mercy, it's got to flow through us to other people. We got to walk in forgiveness with other people. Which means what? We got to release some things. We got to let some things go. So this first fundamental, let's get positioned today. This day, you got to keep doing it every day. Stay positioned continually in forgiveness and thanksgiving and praise. Stay positioned in forgiveness and thanksgiving and praise. And then our second fundamental, we got to magnify that light. Jesus says that be careful that the light that is within you doesn't become darkness. We got to take that light that he's brought us into. We got to magnify it. We got to make it bigger and greater. That's what we talked about yesterday. We talked about Jesus is your wall. Think of a gate. Thanksgiving and forgiveness and praise are the gate that bring us into the light. But then we got to build that wall. We got to make sure there's no gaps in that wall. As we begin to take our positioning in Christ and strengthen that up, it's like he closes all the gaps and we're protected in there. But you got to magnify that light, which means what? We're all magnifying something in our lives every day. As either light or it's darkness. To magnify the light is to magnify God's word. It's to magnify his steadfast, unfailing love. It's to magnify your positioning and your righteousness in Christ, of who he made you to be in Christ. The name of Jesus in the Old Testament is Yeshua. Yeshua means deliverance, rescue, salvation, prosperity, security, victory. That Jesus was made unto you, all those things for you. He was made to you wisdom and sanctification and redemption. There's no gaps in him. You take your positioning in him and you magnify that. You make it bigger and brighter on the inside of you to magnify God's love, his faithfulness, that he's always on time, that he always fulfills his promises, that he's faithful. You can put your trust and your hope in him. Nothing's impossible for him. You keep magnifying that. And to magnify it is to talk about it. It's to rehearse it. It's to rehear it. It's to keep thinking about it and meditating on it over and over. And all of a sudden, as you do that, your heart begins to understand his grace more and more. Colossians 1:6 says the gospel bears or produces fruit in our lives. Ever since the day we understood God's grace, you begin to meditate on his goodness and his grace and your positioning in Christ. All of a sudden, you get this heart that understands. And all of a sudden, when you begin to understand, then you know what to do. But God does give us the option. We get to choose what we want to think on, what we want to meditate on, what we want to magnify in our lives. We can choose to magnify darkness. Usually we get into it by complaining and moenting and groaning and venting our frustrations. That's usually the opener of how we get in. Rather than thanksgiving, we're on the other side, we're in complaining mode. And then we begin to magnify the issues and the problems and the evil and the darkness, and we talk about them and think about them and meditate on them. And I'm sure you've had this experience where you have some problem, and the more you think about it, the more it just grows bigger and bigger on the inside of you. And the reality is, with most of our problems, the more we think about them and the talk about them, the further away we get from the solution. Because the solution is found in the light. And the more you magnify that darkness, the further you're getting away from the solution. But the good news is, we can go from darkness to light in literally 1 second. by simply changing our focus and our positioning. But we got to get good at recognizing those symptoms. When we're positioned in the light, we're magnifying the light. Everything feels light and free and easy and effortless and energizing, like your energy levels begin to rise up. That faith begins to rise up on the inside of you. All of a sudden, that peace that surpasses all understanding begins to flow and guards your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. That joy of the Lord that is your strength begins to flow and equips you and empowers you to function in God's strength and power. When you're magnifying darkness, everything feels heavy and oppressive, like there's no way out. It feels confusing. You don't know which way to go. Maybe you're making the same mistakes and tripping and stumbling over things and you don't even know what they are. Then there's the fear and the stress and the worry and the frustration and the dread of the future. And learning to recognize these symptoms and to spin it back around and bring it into the light as quickly as you can. As you go throughout your day today, pay attention to how you feel. It's giving you indicators. Your emotions and how you feel on the inside is one of the greatest indicators God has given us about what we're magnifying, what we're focused on, what we're believing on in our heart. And learning to recognize it and to make fast adjustments. And like we said a few minutes ago, when you magnify that light, it gives you this heart that understands. And all of a sudden, you know what to do. Which leads us to our third fundamental. We've got to turn these things into action. We've got to turn it into steps and into action. What do you know to do today? Just simplify it all down. What do you know to do today? Not tomorrow. Today. Tomorrow will take care of itself when you get there. What do you know to do today? Not the things you're unclear of or uncertain on. What do you know to do and can do today? What step could you take? Maybe some things around the house, some things in your workplace. Your to-do list has been piling up on the inside. What do you know to do today? Maybe God's been prompting or stirring some steps and just start putting them into motion. But we've got to do them the right way, trusting and relying on God to flow through you to do that work. And the way you do that, you get started, you have the willingness to do it, and you say, God, I need your help with these things today. I can't do these on my own. Most of the things that God has called us to do in our lives weren't meant to be done on our own. They're meant to be done in partnership with Him. You start putting those things into motion, and you do these first three fundamentals. You get positioned in the light, you magnify it, and you start taking action. Doing those things that you know to do, this amazing thing happens. All of a sudden, your clarity on the inside greatly increases, and your ability to hear more clearly from God just exponentially increases. You get so clear on the inside because you don't have all these things piling up inside of you. And then our fourth fundamental, staying tuned into His leading and His voice today. What's God been trying to teach you or show you over the last 24 hours? Every day He's trying to lead us one graceful step at a time to this beautiful, spacious place that's free from all restriction. But it's His voice that leads us along that path, His gentle leading. He's not going to force you. You got to take the time to get still and to listen each day. I like to do it before bed. And just ask this simple question. God, what was it you're trying to teach me or show me today? And get still and listen for a few minutes. And if I got nothing to write about, that means I wasn't tuned in very well that day. Whatever you hear, begin to write it down. You do these four fundamentals day by day. It's amazing what begins to unfold in your life. Let's talk about stop binding yourself. I was reading in the book of Nehemiah, and we've been talking about this month of October in 2021. Our monthly message was write it out. Write out your prayers. And we've been talking about this process that God has taken me through. I've done it several times in my life, and it's amazing how well this works. To write out what you're asking God for, to write out your prayers and to sign them. I like to take communion over them. It's amazing to watch God unfold these prayers in our lives when you begin to write them out. And I keep seeing these things lately. One was talking about King Cyrus the other day. He put a proclamation in writing. Then I see Nehemiah today. It says this, Nehemiah chapter 10, or sorry, Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 38. All the people had returned from Babylon. They're rebuilding Jerusalem. But the people are not following God's law still. They've already been kicked out of God's holy land for not following what he told them to do. And they're not following it. And so all the people gather and they say this, in view of all this, we're making a binding agreement. They're binding themselves. We're making a binding agreement. And we're putting it in writing. So they're writing out their agreement. They're writing out, putting it in writing. Think of it like a legal document. And our leaders, our Levites, our priests are affixing their seals to it. So they're writing it out and they're signing it. Think of it like a legal document. It's got dates. It's got signatures. It's been put in writing. And they put in writing that they are going to follow all of God's laws. They're going to keep the Sabbath. They're not going to marry foreign women. They're going to follow all the rules, which was impossible for them to keep. There's no way that they could do it. Then if you read on, it's got a list of a lot of names that all signed this agreement, that all bound themselves to this agreement. A lot of names. I don't know, maybe 100 names. Then in Nehemiah chapter 10, if you go on a little bit further, verses 28 and 29, it says, then the rest of the people, the priests, the Levites, the gatekeepers, the musicians, the temple servants, and all who separated themselves from the neighboring peoples for the sake of the law of God, together with their wives and all their sons and daughters who were able to understand, all these now join their fellow Israelites and nobles, and they bind themselves with a curse. Huh? They bind themselves with a curse and an oath to follow the law of God given through Moses, the servant of God, and to obey carefully all the commands, regulations, and decrees of the Lord our Lord. So this seems on the surface like a good thing. Hey, God, we're going to make this commitment. We're binding ourselves to follow you, to follow your laws and regulations and everything you've given us. We're binding ourselves to do this. And we're binding ourselves with a curse and a promise and an oath. Seems like a good thing. Let's take a look at this. Jesus says in Matthew 5:37, nor should you swear by your head. And the subtitle of this is, be careful with your oaths and your vows. Nor should you swear by your head, for you cannot make a single hair white or black. Simply let your yes be yes and your no be no. Anything more than this, where does it come from? It comes from the evil one. So these people, it's a form of pride in a way to say, God, we're going to keep these commands. Their devotion was right. They wanted to do the right things, but they bound themselves with a curse. We can bind ourselves in a way that's not good. In Matthew 18, verses 18 through 20, Jesus says, truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything that they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am with them. So this is a very powerful thing. We can bind ourselves or we can loose ourselves. And another powerful component of this, we can bind God or loose God to work in our lives. And so as we go through this process of writing out our prayers, something to keep in mind, make sure you're not binding yourself. And then we also want to make sure we're not binding God. We want to make sure we loose him to work in our lives. Loose him to work in our lives. Set him free to go to work in our lives. And so I will often like to write out, when I write out the prayers, God, I'm asking for the beautiful solution that you have for this problem. And I'll try not to box it in too much sometimes. I want to loose you to go to work on this situation, to do what you think is best. But that takes some trust to do that. Now, if you read on in the book of Nehemiah, at the end of the chapter, you see that the people aren't keeping their oath. But they bound themselves with a curse. Nehemiah is like, I think it's Nehemiah at the end of this chapter. He's like pulling out people's hair because they're not following the Sabbath, beating them up, trying to force them to keep this Sabbath that they took this oath for. Didn't turn out well. Simply let your yes be yes and your no be no. And let's loose ourselves, loose God to go to work in our lives. We're going to take communion over this. Heavenly Father, we just thank you. Thank you for being part of our lives. Thank you for this bread and this juice and what it represents, that you chose the way of love. You could have left us off on our own. We've all missed it. Could have chose to just kill us off or leave us on our own. But you chose to send Jesus, your one and only Son, to die for us, to bring us back to you. We're just so thankful for that. Father, today we're asking for your help. Is there any ways that we're binding ourselves or binding you in our lives, that you would show that to us today, so that we could loose you to work in our lives and loose ourselves anything that we're bound in, Lord. Teach us how to function in this the way that you want us to. This is a principle, obviously, that you've given to us. Asking for you to teach us and to give us understanding and wisdom and knowledge and how to function in this the way you designed it to function. Father, we're just so thankful for this bread. And we thank you that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then Jesus said, "Take it. Receive it." That Jesus makes you right and holy and perfect in God's sight. There's no gaps in him. No flaw in him. A righteousness that doesn't come from our own, but a righteousness is a gift from him. Father, we thank you for this bread and ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your bread, you can take your bread. Then after supper, Jesus took the cup. He said, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many." It's that forgiveness of sins that brings us into the light. Think about the cup of God's wrath was poured full strength onto the body of Jesus, so that now we can have the cup of his blessing. Have this covenant relationship with him. Now, it's an interesting thing, this covenant relationship. God has bound himself in a way. In this covenant, he's made a covenant commitment. He has bound himself to give us everything he has in Christ, to do continually good for us, to give us his steadfast love and his faithfulness all the time. And that is fixed. It's unwavering. He's bound himself to that. And he will never change it. Because even though we might not be able to keep our oaths and our promises, God is. And he's faithful to do that. So Father, we're just thankful for this blood of Jesus and what it represents, this cup. Ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your juice, you can take your juice. So now it's about walking it out. Let's do those four fundamentals today. Position in the light, position in forgiveness, thanksgiving, and praise all day. Keep magnifying the light, meditating on who he's made you to be in Christ, meditating on his faithfulness, his steadfast love, his goodness, that nothing's impossible for him. Stay tuned in to those signals if we're magnifying darkness at all. Keep doing what you know to do today and staying tuned in for his leading throughout the day. And then as you go about this process of writing out prayers, keep an eye on writing them in a way that's going to loose God to work in your lives, to unbind you, to loose you, and to loose God to work in your lives. Because he's bound himself to be working continually for your good. But I hope this has been helpful for you. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us in the Abundant Life Blueprint, you go to the AbundantLifeTrainingCenter.com.